Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, radio show ministry hosted by Stan Wadsworth. The show is an opportunity to study God's Word together through careful inspection and wholesome dialogue. Whether calling in or in listening, we welcome our listeners to prepare their hearts and minds for learning that is for living, according to God's Word. Now let's hear from our host. Welcome to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth.
Welcome back to another segment of Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, Tech Talking Religion. Again, ladies and gentlemen, a user error. Our conversation today will be pointed. As probably all of you know, there's an epidemic of what I call hate crimes that are permeating the world. Our focus today will be on what's happening in this country, though, particularly. Our nation was founded on the ill-fated ideology that one race of people are superior to another. The raw truth is the foundation of this attitude is sin. Prideful, willful, and may I add, unsubstantiated tales and fables about a people who are the perpetrators, who the perpetrators actually know little about. Since the birth of this nation, the black man and woman has never been valued as people on the same playing field as whites. The Constitution of liberties and justice for all doesn't include those who do not look like the ones that pen the law. Based on the racial condition of the country at the time the Constitution was written, I find it hard to believe that a black man or woman was inclusive in the equalities in the Constitution it expressed. And based on the current climate of today, my position hasn't much changed. There is hope, however. I want to play a clip for you from a video that's circulating on the internet. The young white woman you'll hear is refusing to bow down to her parents' prejudice and bias against people of color. Notice how absolutely closed-minded her parents are and their justification for feeling the way that they do. Listen.
Do you know how many
kids?
No.
Can you shut your mouth for a minute?
No.
Because I actually work in the ghetto. I've seen the people.
Do you know why they're in that position?
I see these people.
Do you understand the systematic and historical reason for why they're in that position?
They don't care. All they want to do is be ghetto.
No.
Yes.
No.
They don't, and they're good people.
No.
Most of them just want to suck off the system or do something bad like drugs or gangs. And that's all
they have been oppressed. They have not been given the same opportunities you have had. No, they don't, Dad. And you not recognizing that as an issue is the reason why it's still continuing today.
I see them all over. There's all kinds of successful people that are of color. It doesn't matter what color, brown, white.
But it's a lot harder for them to get to that position.
It doesn't matter. When they do, they're fine. But there's always filthy animals. And that
you're calling people of color black animals. You're calling them animals. Are you kidding me? That's not okay. No, no matter what, that's not okay. No matter what, it's not okay. Racism is not okay. Why do you think the racism is okay?
Oh, that's mine.
Billy, I'm going to look at. I'm looking at
your statistics can be warped. Statistics can be warped. You want me to show you videos? Do you want me to show you videos of cops? I will do it. Because they can be warped. I'm not giving statistics right now. They can be warped. Personal experiences can't.
No, because this is actually putting it into play. Do
I need to show you a bunch of videos of cops attacking protesters, peaceful protesters?
Listen to this.
You mean I'm informed and educated? Yes, I am. Mom, I was watching political stuff and you said to turn that off because you don't want to hear about it. That means I am educated on it and you are not.
I'm sick of hearing it.
The fact that you can have that ignorance for the majority is bliss. Ignorance for that minority is destruction.
That are wrong. This is just pure wrong information.
Video seems to have stopped. and I can't understand why. I've listened to this, I don't know, countless times, and now it won't play. But nevertheless, I think you get the gist of, because it was about 3.5 minutes long anyway, I think you get the gist of what's going on here. The most recent public and so relevant issue of today is the obvious mistreatment of African-American men and women at the hands of law enforcement officers. Though in the last few years there have been many, from Trayvon Martin to Breonna Taylor to George Floyd. The Floyd case, however, sparked national peaceful and violent protests. The exposure of these deeds are undeniable due to the accessibility of citizens using personal phones to video incidents and most states requiring law officers to wear body cams. Nevertheless, in most recent years, I personally have witnessed video footage of horrible crimes committed against defenseless, fleeing, even cooperating African-American citizens where officers either received paid suspension, paid desk duty, or in cases that couldn't be ignored by the law, grand juries determining the officer's actions were justified. To shoot to death an unarmed man stopped for a traffic violation who ran away from the officers who stopped him. Or Philando Castile, who after a routine traffic stop was shot without provocation seconds after announcing he had a licensed firearm. I could go on and on. By the way, the officer was subsequently exonerated of all charges and found not guilty in the Castile case. So in this context, based on all this undeniable video evidence, the problem is obviously almost collective, is almost perpetuated almost exclusively by the Caucasian population. It's a lack for regard for life and well-being toward people of color and African-American descent. Here we're going to talk about causes, solutions, and remedies. The cause, being a man of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, viewing things through the lens of God, it's obvious that what we're experiencing here is spiritual warfare. And Matthew 24, it's ironic that I'm going back to Matthew 24 when I was there on the last podcast we had, but we need to go back there again where the disciples are asking about the end of times, and Jesus was describing the various things that must happen. He mentioned wars, nations against nations, kingdom against kingdoms, famines, earthquakes. Essentially, these are all elements of people against people. In verse 12, Jesus says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. There's a lot to unpack in that, but I'll leave it alone because we have quite a ways to go. But if you go to Jesus, if you go to Matthew 24, the 12th verse, I would advise you to read the whole thing. But the Lord is telling us specifically about these things, so we shouldn't in the least bit be surprised. So people may want to know, what is the spiritual warfare specifically? I mean, I know people of God that attend church regularly and read their Bibles and have a relationship with God may have an anchor on that. But for those who may have or be afraid to ask that particular question, spiritual warfare doesn't have anything per se to do with us being the people. Spiritual warfare is the battle between the kingdom of light, God's kingdom, and this is according to the Bible, these definitions, and the kingdom of darkness, Satan's kingdom. The devil and his demons seek to keep unbelievers in darkness, to render believers powerless in sin and doubt, and to destroy a Christian community that is to be the light in the darkness. This systemic, another word for systematic, apartheid, I'm calling it, began before any slaves were ever brought to America. Slavery is a part of world culture. World culture. Every race has it in some shape, form, or fashion. They've all enslaved one another. However, the American historical version has been founded in a sheer lack of value for people of a different race, nationality, or ethnic group. Whether a professed Christian or not, the Caucasian race as a whole has always thought themselves to be superior to those whose color, culture, or language was different from theirs. From days of old, black men and women have been treated as property, some sort of commodity to be controlled and bought and sold. From the beginning of American society straight through today, the 21st century, people of African descent who initially forcibly helped to plant and harvest crops, pave roads, fight in civil wars, build houses, cook meals, care for horses, and in some cases of the lighter-skinned ones, even cared for the slave master's children, have never been valued the same way as their white counterparts. Now I'm going to get into, I've written this down, a few technicalities. I need you to follow me. I know sometimes we zone out when we get to talking about these educational things, but you need to hold on to this because this is where a lot of this comes from. Well, actually, this is where a great portion of this undervalue stems from. And unfortunately, the Christian church is the perpetrator. The African slavery movement gained huge momentum through the 15th century papal bull. Through the 15th century papal bull, which is a decree from the church, the Catholic Church, called a dum diversus. You can see that word on the screen on the faceplate of the on Blog Talk Radio. The Catholic papal bulls. Bulls is a word for decree, of the 15th century gave Portuguese Christian explorers, and these are the explorers that Christopher Columbus went and got as he was commissioned by the king to go out and seek new nations. His springboard was Portugal. The Catholic papal bulls decrees of the 15th century gave Portuguese Christian explorers the right to claim lands they discovered and lay claim to those lands for their Christian monarchs. Hence, in America on the almighty dollar, and God we trust. Any land that was not inhabited by Christians was available to be discovered, claimed, and exploited. Excuse me. Inhabitants could be converted, they might be spared. If not, they could be enslaved or killed. In 1452, Pope Nicholas V issued the papal bull Dum Diversus, again, and what we call a bill of today, granting Alfonso V the right to reduce Saracens, which are Muslims, it's an old term word for Muslims. The Pope Nicholas V, through this decree, granted Alfonso V the right to reduce Saracens, pagans, and other unbelievers to hereditary slavery. That's what was written in his decree. This was affirmed and extended in the Romanus Pontifex bull, again a decree. It was reaffirmed of 1455. Remember, it was initially 1452. So 3 years later, it was reaffirmed, in other words, reestablished, also by Nicholas V. There's a lot in between, but the point that is that this eventually led to the lucrative globalization sale trade being brought to America was born. I'm sorry, I'm confusing. The point is that this led to a lucrative sale trade being brought to America was born on these slaves being brought to America was born on perverse religious ideologies and violence. That it was sanctioned by the Catholic Christian denomination classifying Christians to have the right to perpetrate the malicious transport and brutal treatment of African slaves across the globe shows that a huge personal responsibility of the hateful spread of an apartheid system of equality has been an international mainstay of human and religious society for over 500 years of modern society. And unfortunately, the church plays a pivotal role. Demonic influence always seeks to divide and conquer. It's an animalistic ideology that works. You ever notice how primitive animals that stalk other animals for food almost always seek out the youngest or the weakest and attempt to separate them from the pack. Well, that's the way the devil works. He looks for the weakest, like in the case of the young lady talking to her parents. The parents would be classified as the weaker. We're not talking about a physical strength. We're talking about an ideology, in a worldview, in biblical perspective, from a moralistic standpoint. In humans, manifested pride is always the source of undue entitlement attitude concerning race, religion, or class of people. Not even the Christian body of believers is seemingly exempt from this spiritual tactic. Strength must truly be in united numbers. So what's the problem? Believe it or not, spiritual warfare. So what's the solution? The solution is complicated. I could go on for the next 45 minutes and talk about what I think the solution would be. I listen to commentators and so-called experts constantly that tell about what they think the solution is. Very rarely do I hear anybody mention spiritual warfare as the substance of what's going on. Whether it be from a political commentator or even a spiritual commentator. I don't hear pastors getting up in groups, maybe perhaps in the confines of their church, but I don't hear them publicly speaking when they're asked by the news media what do they think the problem is and what do they think the resolution is. I don't hear them mentioning spiritual warfare. I don't hear them mentioning about the prayers of the righteous that should stand up against this type of things. I don't see the churches in mass formulating protest groups. Yes, it's okay to be a Christian and protest. Jesus did. He turned over a table in protest against how his father's sanctuary was being used. Peaceful, loving protest against a wrong is something that Martin Luther King died for. But yet nowadays we, for the most part, ignore. So solution, now these are my personal ideas of what the solution should be or could be. And the number one is education. America, a country that was supposedly founded on Christian principles and beliefs, the almighty dollar in God we trust, that term crosses all of our hands daily. These Christians concede to the atrocities that have been permeated against blacks since the development of these nations. There were Christians in the early stages of this country that would literally whip slaves and find a scripture, take it out of context, have the slave recite his scripture as though they were consenting that their beating was justified and would whip them based on the scriptures of God. So there needs to be an education. This country needs to be able to be educated, to be willing to hear and attempt to understand where this comes from. This is essentially knowing who you are and why you think and do the things that you do. These are matters of the heart. Until white America, because we're focusing for the purposes of this session, we're focusing mostly on Americans. White America needs to be able to stand up in the face of the black man and a black woman and be willing, a willing heart, the Bible talks about, to be educated, to acknowledge their wrongs, and to do what is right. But right can't come if your heart is not in a pure place. You heard some of the responses to the young lady from her parents. It was obvious to me that they were blind. Because of their ingrained, deep-rooted prejudice, they were literally unable to understand what this young lady was trying to say. They just didn't get it. So education, a willingness to be educated, I think is a portion of the solution. Repentance. Once that acknowledgement through education has been obtained, another course of action needs to occur, which is our repentance. Repentance is an action word. As hard as it may be, again, white America needs to take a hard, cold look into their hearts. Sometimes the best way to sympathize with someone is to switch places and consider if the treatment that you're giving him is the kind of treatment that you will want for you or your family. And once that type of position to be repentant is obtained, then in a genuine, heartfelt way, we all have to work together on the political, business, and social, religious fronts to implement and perpetrate new ways of integrating Black Americans into an equitable and fair civil system that won't allow itself to any longer be held hostage. Because that's just what it is. It's an ignorance-laden ideology that one people should be valued differently, treated differently than another. You could hear, again, referring back to the video, the mom and the dad placed almost exclusively all of the blame on Black people. They weren't willing to take on any of the responsibilities that their daughter was pointing out to them. So we've talked about the need for education. We're talking about a sense of repentance, a turning back from your position in this case, a turning back from your ideologies of superiority, turning back to a sorrowfulness that would allow an individual to be able to sit down at the table and reconcile. And the third segment of what I believe is the solution is reconciliation. Once the internal work that we need, the external work, the internal being the deep look into ourselves, the external being the intervention of political, business, religious, and social fronts. Once that's done, there can be reconciliation. Reconciliation is most used in the biblical sense, but the Oxford Dictionary definition is the restoration of friendly relations. Now, when we say friendly, we're talking about genuinely, I'm assuming the Bible means genuinely friendly relations. Sad as it is to say, I'm not sure that restoration is the most appropriate word, but in order for something to be restored, it has to have a previous, in this case, better, it has to have had a previous, in this case, a better situation or place to return to. I don't know that we even have that. We don't have an absolute better situation. We don't have a pure situation to turn back to. In the life of this country, the relations between white America and any other race or nationality has almost always been one of white superiority, a white supremacist type of point of view. You remember back in Matthew 24 when Jesus, speaking to those who profess to be his followers, informs them that because of sin, of which pride is the author, that the hearts of many will grow cold. These words are alluding to the insensitivity to the point of oblivion. Heard this young girl's parents, they were totally insensitive to the plight of what's going on in this nation currently. So I'm assuming that they were insensitive to the Black man and woman in general, i.e. not placing this same value, because I find it hard that if that were her daughter or people of a non-Black or non-color being gunned down and shot down like that, I wonder would their position be the same. I've had many conversations with my white counterparts, and I'm convinced that the veracity of the race relations story in American history is a story they just don't want to accept. So, yeah, the resolution starts with a willingness to be educated. Those are matters of the heart. There has to be a heartfelt desire to have empathy. We're not talking sympathy, but empathy, so that you can understand what the chants of these protesters actually is all about. So there needs to be a willingness, the willingness to turn hearts another direction based on this new information, this new education that we would have to willingly be able to sit down at the table and discuss. And the willingness to want the reconciliation that is necessary in order for this country to have any constitutional equality and fairness for all people. Because this, and I'm going to interject this, and this is entirely all of it is, but this is really exclusively my personal opinion. I hear people say all the time that things will get better. Now, I will say that things have gotten better these days from the days of my birth back in 1958, because during just prior and during those times, there was civil unrest, racial civil unrest here in this country. And I thank God for Dr. King and others that took up that that mantle and stood up in a Christian-like way. But even the satisfaction of that doesn't appear to be genuine. It seems that now 50, 60 years, we've lapsed right back, and even in a more accelerated way, back to where we were initially, because you remember they were hanging people back in those days. People weren't allowed the same dignities that others were. Sure, we don't any longer have black and white, black and colored, as they called it, water fountains, but surely there are places where we're not welcome. The conclusion, based off of everything that I've thought in putting this together, is America must stop placing the cart before the horse. Politics, new bills being passed, is putting laws into place that are no consequence unless they're acknowledged and perpetrated by the ones that make and uphold them. The root of the heart can only truly be touched by God. My prayer is that even though there's no ultimate solution short of Jesus for the sin that's being perpetrated by mankind, the root of the heart can only be touched by God. So my prayer is that everyone that the Lord would so place it upon their heart would stand before Him and ask for the sensitivity of heart to view and to treat people the way that they would want to be treated. Don't be fooled. A Christian with no place for love in his or her heart is no friend of God. These are dire and serious times, America. It's time for us to take a cold, hard look at our hearts and at our nation, and do all that God will place on our heart to do to make it a better place. God bless you.